The new covenant is not about your love for God, it's about His love for you. And you need to know that He wants to hear my voice. He wants to see my face. Sometimes it's not the words you say, it's just coming to His presence and say, Father, and know this, He loves you. The Bible says God wants to see your face and then hear your voice. So when you come to God, you have a prayer request. You know, just know that He loves you when you come to His presence. Stop there and just say, just know He loves you. He's a God who gave Jesus to die for your sins, but now He's your Father. And talk to Him, say, Father. Have a conscience that you're in the presence of the one who loves you infinitely. He finds no fault with you. And He delights that you are coming to Him. He delights that you are trusting Him with your prayer requests. See that and see if your prayers are not answered. The truth is that whether you're a rich or poor Christian, whether you are young or old believer, you are complete in Christ. You are not less complete than one who is 10 years Christian. You are complete in Christ.
True grace transforms lives. It saves and liberates people. It breaks bondages and has the power to help us live a victorious, God-glorifying life. In today's message, Joseph Prince answers some questions you might have about the gospel of grace. Is grace just another message that's too good to be true? Stay tuned to find out more. What is true grace? Is it a dangerous doctrine? Does it promote a license to sin? In his book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up?, Joseph Prince addresses controversies and misconceptions surrounding the gospel of grace. Curious to find out more? Get your copy today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to get yours now. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
I really think that we are really blessed and privileged to be in this generation. Amen. Amen. Even if you are in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, that is the church in its infancy. Amen. They ride on donkeys to bring the gospel somewhere. They travel by feet to bring the good news to a place. But now God has allowed, and many of the inventions of television and here we are. How are we bringing the gospel? We can impact more than the church in its infancy can. We can bring the gospel to the airwaves. Now the devil hates that because the Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. He does not want you to take television. So when television was first revealed, and many of the preachers went to the pulpit and said, there's the one-eyed monster, that's the devil. And the devil says, keep on preaching like this, and let me put what I want on TV. When TV is not the devil's invention. Everything that's modern today, you can climb the stairs if you want, but I'll take the lift. And the thing is this, we are not stupid, amen? We are anchored to Jesus Christ, but geared to the times. We make use of whatever invention that God has allowed to come into our life. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It's not the devil. If you let go, the devil will take over. So it's time for the body of Christ to take the airwaves, and best of all, not put rock and roll, but put Jesus Christ and the preaching of Jesus Christ in the airwaves, so that many lives and what you have experienced, you cannot be selfish and keep it within New Creation Church. Amen. We are blessed to be a blessing. Many people would love to hear what you're hearing. Amen. So to God be the glory. Amen. So the harvest is ready, it's plenteous, it's white already for harvest. God is waiting for laborers. What are you doing? Give up your small ambitions. Amen. There is an eternity of the kingdom of God that we will rule in when Jesus comes again. Amen. Make sure that the things that you do are really things that satisfy. All right, not just, when we go to heaven and we bring a bag of gold, angels will look at the bag of gold and say, what, you live your entire life for street material? Do you understand street material? Because in heaven, we walk on streets of gold. They scratch their head. They can't understand that priority. Amen? Amen? Amen, Pastor Prince. Good preaching. Hallelujah. To see Jesus and all the loveliness of His person. And that's the reason why we are here. Praise God. All right. I'm going to show you something very, very, very powerful, okay? Look at Colossians. In the book of Colossians, it says this, in Christ, here the context refers to Christ, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. Whoa. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the triune God bodily in human form. Do you know that of all the four Gospels, the first three are called synoptic Gospels, but the Gospel of John stands in a class of its own. And the miracles in the Gospel of John are not called miracles, they are called signs. So the first miracle of Jesus turning water to wine is a sign. At the end of John's Gospel, John says there are many other miracles, many other things Jesus said and did, which is not possible for one to write. If one writes it, I suppose that even all the books in the world cannot contain it. But these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life. So, the miracles in John are called signs. They demonstrate something. They demonstrate his deity, because the Gospel of John is about Jesus, the Son of God, his deity, in bodily, in human form. Okay, watch this. What is the first miracle? The first miracle is to turn water into wine. Right? Now, in science, we learn of this major components: time, space, force, matter. Am I right? Right? Time, space, force, motion, force, matter. I just real quick call your attention the way it appears in John. The first miracle, turn water into wine. Water, if I can have a glass of water here, transparent glass, and a transparent glass of wine, you will see in the natural there's no way water can turn to wine. Maybe grape juice left for a while may turn to wine, but not water. And not just wine, very good wine. So to get good wine, you got to have a plantation of a vineyard that is there for about 4 or 5 years. I read about it, how they have the best wine. They got to wait for the 4 or 5 years. And after that, it's ready for wine making. But even then, the first few years of the grapes that's produced is not as good for good wine. So they wait for another 2 or 3 years. And even then, after that, they have wine that is saleable, wine that is commercial. But yet, to have very good wine, you wait for another 10 years, another 15 years, another 20 years. Then you have very good wine. Jesus compressed time in a wedding and gave the best wine. So the first miracle is a miracle of, he is the Lord. The sign is what? He is the Lord of time. Do you know the Bible says God can restore to you the years the locusts have eaten? Amen. Joel chapter 2, God can restore to you the years the locusts has eaten. Did you hear me? Restore the years for us. Once the years are gone, wasted years, wasted days, wasted nights. I wish I can have them back. God says, I am the Lord of time. You don't understand, Pastor Prince, I'm not 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, I'm 70 years old. He's the Lord of time. Amen. You don't understand, I'm 80 years old, so was Caleb. And he says, I'm as strong today at 85 years old as I was when Moses sent me at 40 years old. Give me this mountain. Amen. He's the Lord of time. Amen. You know what's the second sign? Most people know the first sign, they don't know the second sign. In the Gospel of John, the second sign, Jesus was in Cana, same place where he turned the water to wine. A man came from Capernaum, which is more than 10 miles away from Cana, where Jesus was, where he did the first miracle. He was a noble man, and his son was sick. So he said, Lord, can you please come and heal my son? And Jesus says, go your way, your son lives. He's speaking from Cana, more than 10 miles away from Capernaum, by the Lake of Galilee. Many of you have seen Capernaum when you visit Israel. Cana is about more than 10 miles away. And he says, go your way, your son lives. Then the Bible says to show his faith, that father didn't go back the same day. The father slept one night in Cana. Next day he made his way. And then the servants came out to meet this nobleman and say, your son is okay, your son is okay. He asked, when was my son okay? When did he recover? Exactly the time when Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. But this is the second miracle that Jesus did. The Bible says this is the second miracle. What does this demonstrate? He's the Lord of space. Time, space. Are you listening, people? When I went to Israel recently, I was on assignment, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. My luggage didn't come in. And I had to have my luggage, my clothes. Went for last minute shopping. Really, literally last minute. Had to get all the, you know, basic necessities, toothbrush, whatever. I was in a nice room, all right? I was looking forward for a bath, because we traveled for about, plus a delay and all that, 24 hours already. Went to bathe. My shower has only hot water. Extreme right, extreme left, hot water. And I just lathered my hair with shampoo. And I can't go out and call because I was all, you know, partially wet and my head is all lathered with shampoo, so I can only do this. You know, you put your hair, it was burning, man. Then I called the hotel, and the hotel says, well, you know, it's very hard for us to give you a room now because, I said, look, I'm not asking for a suite. I'm just asking, give me a room where I can bathe. I'm very tired already, you know. Everything go wrong went wrong. And worst of all, my son came down with a cough that kept him up the whole night. And I received the news from text when my wife told me that. I said, wait a minute, this whole thing, I'm about to preach something that will go into millions of homes. All right, when it's released, you all get to see it. And I was there on this assignment. And when I heard about my son, you know, nothing affects you like a father, like hearing about your son. So I knelt down in my bed and I say, you foul spirits, a sign against me, a sign against my family to stop this preaching of the word. I loose you from assignments and I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now just let you know this. Usually children, all right, when they have coughs, it will probably go on like 1 week or slightly more than 1 week. With the cough getting, you know, lesser. You know, the phlegm stage, you know what I'm saying? But my wife told me something happened that night. She didn't know I prayed at first. My son slept through. It's only after 1 or 2 days of constant coughing. Slept through, which means what? It is spiritual. Now, not all sickness is spiritual. Sometimes you don't rest enough. You fall sick. What you need to do? Rest. You don't drink enough water. That's why you have headache. You are dehydrated. But sometimes it's spiritual. When it's spiritual, you got to come against the spirit behind it. Like people understand how come a pin can jump from one limb to another limb. Usually it's spiritual. If it jumps, all right? Natural things don't jump. Bind that jumping spirit in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? So, it is amazing that I was in Israel, thousands of miles away from Singapore. I was on my knees by my bed in my room, in the hotel room, and I could pray, and my son could be delivered. Why? Because he's the Lord of time and space. Yes. Want me to go on? Yes. Oh man, the third one, real quick, because I don't. This is not my sermon. Okay, this is just free, real fast. The third miracle he did. All right, the man who was impotent for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk. He talks about the motion of the water. He talks about Jesus saying, rise, take up your bed and walk. All this talks about motion. Time, space, force, motion. And the sign after that, what is it? He took five loaves and two fish. More than 5,000 people, counting women and children, about 10,000, with five loaves and two sardines. Two small fish, the Bible says. He multiplied it to feed more than 10,000 people with 12 baskets full left over. The Lord of matter. You can turn the matter. Don't look at your bank account and say, oh man. Look at it and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. He can multiply it. Amen. Even scientifically accurate. So in him, wow, see, you all distracted me. I started by saying, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, child of God, you are complete in Christ. First he says, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then God says, but you know something? You are complete in Christ. God has put you in Christ and you are complete. Amen. The amazing thing, church, is this. God says you are righteous. There are preaching going on in churches today that says, you know, if you are holy enough, one day you'll be righteous. No, my friend. You are now holy, righteous, and blameless. Your actions might not correspond yet. My son does not walk like an adult because he's still a baby. But one day, trust me, he'll walk like an adult. And he won't want me to baby him anymore. So keep on feeding the people. Amen. Pastors and leaders, keep on feeding the people. Don't beat the people. Feed. And they'll come to a place where their actions will correspond. But meanwhile, the truth is that whether you're a rich or poor Christian, whether you are young or old believer, you are complete in Christ. You are not less complete than one who is 10 years Christian. You are complete in Christ. And in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what we have done is that we take the starting post, you are complete in Christ. And we have made it the finishing post. That's the problem. We tell people, one day, the finishing post. We think in the natural. We think like a human. Instead of reasoning from God downwards, we are reasoning from man upwards. God's reasoning, God's reality is that you are complete in Christ. Even though you're safe this morning, you're complete in Christ. Now walk out that completeness. And if you fall and appear incomplete, you are still complete. Your fall does not incomplete you. Because your action in the first place did not complete you. It was Christ. So, that's a starting post. The starting post is you're complete. Don't make the starting post the finishing post. One day you'll be complete. I'm going to show you right now how many Christians think. And that's the reason they don't see the deliverance. Because there's something, you know, very profound. If you come to God, if you're a child of God and you come to God like a sinner, God doesn't respond to you. Because he's no more God to you, he's Father. Even when you fail, you come to God as a sinner and you say, God, I have sinned, God. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner saved by grace, God. God, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me, the sinner. And you think you're copying the guy that Jesus talked about who wasn't even faith. Now you're confusing the issue. Are you a child addressing the Father or are you a sinner addressing God? Once upon a time, we were all sinners and we addressed God. As a sinner, we address God. We can say things that be merciful to me, a sinner, and that's right. But God is no more just God to us, his Father. And we are no more sinners to him. We are his children. And our cry is, Abba. I know you saw this a few weeks ago, but a proud father wanted to show this off. Look at this. Doesn't matter how old you are. The cry is Abba. Abba. He's looking, by the way, he's looking at me when he does this. Abba is a cry from the heart. It's not a formal, oh Father. It is a cry. And the day the devil robbed you of that consciousness that you are a child, even when you fail, that's the day you find almost like heaven is brass. Why is there no response? Because God cannot own that position. For God to own that position by giving you a sense of his presence and all that, all right, would be for God to own falsehood. He cannot. The Holy Spirit in you cannot bear witness with a lie. You're acting like a sinner when God has made you a child. So the way out is say, Father, before you come to God, don't just come and throw your request so fast. Just come and know that he loves you. You're coming to a father. Don't talk about the God of the universe. He is the God of the universe. But you must not allow how people see him to be how you see him. You have a different relationship. He's your father, a father that loves to hear your voice. In the Song of Songs, it says this, let me hear your voice. But before he says, let me hear your voice, he says, let me see your face. Let me see thy countenance. And then let me hear your voice. Notice the order. It is your presence that he wants, not just your voice. It's one thing for Jessica to talk to me on the staircase or in the living room, and I'm in the room. Daddy, yes, you know, but I would love for her to come in my presence. I don't want to talk. I can hear her voice. So the Bible says, God wants to see your face and then hear your voice. So when you come to God, you have a prayer request. You know, just know that He loves you. When you come to His presence, stop there and just know He loves you. He's a God who gave Jesus to die for your sins, but now He's your Father. And talk to Him, say, Father. Have a conscience that you're in the presence of the one who loves you infinitely. He finds no fault with you. And He delights that you are coming to Him. He delights that you are trusting Him with your prayer requests. See that and see if your prayers are not answered. Because when you come in a lie, you come to Him like He's God. You sense distance. It's a lie. Everything is a lie. God cannot own that lie. God cannot answer and own that lie. For God to give you an answer is to own that lie. And that's the reason why you don't see results. Sometimes it's not the words you say, it's just coming to His presence and say, Father, and know this, He loves you. The new covenant is not about your love for God, it's about His love for you. And you need to know that He wants to hear my voice. He wants to see my face, Father. You know, many times when I pray to the Father, I usually start off by saying, Father, thank you for loving me. Have you ever thanked Him for loving you? Thank you for loving me. It gives me a sense that He loves me. Long before I bring my prayer request, I must have that sense. I must have the sense that He longs to have me in His presence, to hear my voice, to see my face first, then to hear my voice. I must have that. Now I'm telling you, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we know He hears us, we know that we have the request we desire of Him. It's amazing how we, you know, this testimony here, I just want to share real quick. Are y'all blessed? Yes. This is from Honolulu. Da, 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 da. In 1993, this brother from Honolulu, he said that, it's a short one. In 1993, I was in a car accident that injured my spine, messing up my fourth to fifth lumbar vertebrae. As I could not walk, I had to undergo back surgery in 1995. The operation only made my condition worse, and I was in pain every single day. Some days worse than others, even my right knee and right shoulder were affected. For 15 years, my daily prayer was for healing and release from this excruciating pain. Then in 2008, I listened to a teaching by Pastor Prince titled, Rest in Jesus' Faith for Miracles. Even the faith of miracles. You don't come and say, I need the faith. I need the faith. You know, it's like so much strife. You gotta be, your complete means what? Is faith lacking? No, it's not. Just rest in Him. If I need faith, He will supply. You know the analogy of the vine and the branches? Whatever is in the vine flows in the branches. The only way to stop the sap is for the vine to try to tighten up. I must try my best. Nothing flows, you know? Okay, he says that for 15 years, my daily prayer was for healing and release from this excruciating pain. Then in 2008, I listened to a teaching called Rest in Jesus, Faith for Miracles by Pastor Prince. I shared it with my husband. We were both excited and blessed by what we had learned, and it revolutionized my thinking about faith. I began to repeat. That's all she did. I began to repeat what Pastor Prince taught about Jesus' faith, but I wasn't praying about anything in particular. That night, 15 years, excruciating pain. That night, as I prepared for bed, my back made this snap, crackle, and pop sound twice. When I bent slightly over the sink, crawling into bed, I noticed that my back didn't really hurt. When I awoke, the agony in my back was gone. What a miracle! Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. No hula baloo, jumping up and down, you know, like commanding all the time. Just resting. Just repeating what I said to a husband. As the day progressed at work, both my knee and shoulder became free of pain as well. I was even able to walk up and down two flights of stairs. I'm so thankful for the teachings on grace by Pastor Prince. What a blessing.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. In Joseph Prince's book, Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up?, you will find answers to some commonly asked questions about grace, such as, is grace something we need to be wary about? Does grace encourage people to live careless, sinful lives? Is holiness important under grace? Receive your copy when you make a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and outreach initiatives. Have loved ones who will be blessed by this book too? For a gift of $55 or more, you will receive 5 copies of Will the Real Gospel Please Stand Up? Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request yours today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Okay, lift your hands all across this place. This coming week, the Lord bless you with the blessings of Abraham and the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord himself keep you. If the Lord himself keep you, you are kept. The Lord himself keeps you from accidents, dangers, sickness, disease, from evil people, from all the powers of darkness, and from the evil one. The Lord make his face shine on you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant to you and your families his shalom. In Jesus' name. Children of God, remember to call him Father and sense his love. Amen. God bless you. See you again.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
Before we go, I just want to appreciate the people who make this possible. Grace Legacy Builders. It is your generosity and support that allows us to continue sending the gospel of grace all around the world for free. Because of your giving, people are experiencing freedom from years of wrong believing. I want you to know that you have personally made a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you and your family.
You can make a real difference by becoming a Grace Legacy Builder today. Together, we can reach more people with the life-changing gospel of grace. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to get started. Tune in to church online.
I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online.
Experience a time of worship, Holy Communion, and a timely word from Pastor Prince. Join our live chats and connect with fellow Grace believers. Text CHURCH to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/church to get started. Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.